This is a Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show special presentation, Teen Suicide in Arizona.
We know that even with the spring break going on, there aren't a lot of teenagers listening to KTAR. I can acknowledge that as much as it may hurt me. But there are a heck of a lot of parents, aunts, uncles, friends of kids. And this is an important hour for you to understand exactly what is going on and the problem of teen suicide right here in the Valley. We're spending the whole hour doing it. Last half hour, Dr. Krasnow talked about, from a clinical psychologist kind of perspective, what we're dealing with and some of the challenges.
And I'm going to tell you, he was amazing. He gave
literally
so many nuggets that you need to hear. So if you missed that half hour, we're going to have it up on our podcast here shortly. You're going to want to listen to it. And maybe even listen to it with your teenager, because it might spark a conversation that you're uncomfortable to have. So we're having it for you right now. These are uncomfortable conversations, but they're important ones. And that is why joining us in studio right now is the next discussion that needs to take place. Joining us is Katie McPherson. She is a school digital wellness consultant. She gets hired by school districts in the Valley to come in and talk to teachers, talk to educators, talk to parents, talk to students about what's going on with their mental health in technology. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I know that the East Valley in particular has had an epidemic of suicides. What are the facts? What are the numbers we're seeing right now?
Well, the reports currently are 38 students, and we know nationwide suicide is actually underreported, so those aren't the numbers of attempts. And as your colleague pointed out, there are many attempts for every completion. So when we look valley-wide, what we've seen is a 4-to-1 completion ratio of boys to girls, but when we look at both genders, they're both struggling. So I don't like to hang my hat on numbers, but statistically, I can just tell you, I've been on a secondary campus for 23 years, and I've never seen anything like this.
I thought, here's something, because, you know, in the news, on a regular basis, we hear about these horrible homicides that happen, killer on the loose, searching for this, that, and the other. In Arizona, annually, 4 times more people die by suicide than die by homicide. This is something. I can't use the term Dr. Krasnow did. It is common, but we treat it like it's rare. We talk about it like it's rare, but it's actually very common.
And what we're seeing right now is rates of teen depression and suicide. They've absolutely skyrocketed in the last 10 years or so. And frankly, not an exaggeration to describe this generation behind the millennials, the generation of my daughter, the generation of your daughters. You have 3, correct?
4.
4, excuse me. They're on the brink of the worst mental health crisis in a decade. Do you, Katie, find that much of this deterioration can be traced to their phones?
I think the phones get blamed for a lot of things, and I do think they are a pathway and a conduit of information of them supporting each other. What adults don't understand is that support and that intensity of the friendship is very similar to what you and I experienced on the long cord phone around the living room, right? But the access to information, the access to content that allows you to learn how to self-harm, to get onto Google or YouTube and learn how to tie a noose, how to take my life, how to overdose on pills, is obviously something that we never were up against. No. I would also say the neural pathways of the underdeveloped brain are deeply impacted by constant use and constant ways to convey pain. I think Dr. Krasnow pointed out that pain can be transmitted or transformed. For young kids like ours, age 9 through 18, they're going to take their pain and transmit it to each other all the time, all night long. And so when we look at these underdeveloped brains, the CDC really looks at lack of sleep, having devices in bedrooms, and really adults not understanding the use of these phones as an issue.
Oh, so help adults understand. We've got parents that are listening right now. They're engaged.
They're
leaning
terrified.
Well, because they care.
Yeah.
And they should be terrified. This is a problem. You're saying parents don't understand. Katie, what don't we understand?
we have allowed a device to become an obstruction between us and our most precious commodities. And we fight over it, and we take it away, and then we give it back, and we take it away. And we have allowed it to truly come between us. And the kids have stopped coming to us because they don't trust us. When we give an 11-year-old an iPhone XR for Christmas, we say, "I trust you with the World Wide Web." No training. And then she hits her brother and we take the phone away. And then I'm exhausted after work and we give the phone back. And then she doesn't do well in math and I take it back. And so in the middle of that dance that the entire United States is doing with their children, we're losing trust bit by bit. And they stop coming to us when they're in pain, when somebody's mean to them, when they're feeling self-harm or suicidal. And so we've lost trust with them.
Again, that's Katie McPherson, and Katie is a school digital wellness consultant. This is exactly what she deals with. And it strikes me that there is a pretty fine line that parents are trying to walk here, where you want them to feel like they can come to you, but there are certain things that you're telling me, if I'm hearing you correctly, teens specifically are worried if they do come, well, it's not worth losing the phone over.
Well, my phone is my lifeline, and you'll see a ton of articles out there that say, you know, boy frozen to death in Iowa during storm because parents took phone away. He didn't freeze to death because they took the phone away. He froze to death because he was going to find support and friendship from the people on the phone. So we've lost sight of what the phone offers students, both the positive and the negative.
Wow.
I got to admit, when Katie, you said they're Googling how to tie a noose. Like, I had to turn away from the microphone. I mean, I know that content exists. I'm not naive. Just as a parent, I need more help. I need more tips. So we're going to have you stick around because this is an important conversation, probably one of the most important conversations we can have when we talk about kids killing themselves.
And whether it's tying that noose, whether it's the bottle of pills, whether it's the crack of a gun. We know that teens, disproportionately here in Arizona, are committing suicide. It is an issue. It is happening. And it may be happening right under your roof and you don't know it. You may not know where you're headed to. I hope you continue to listen as we continue to try to bring more information forward right here on KTAR News.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, it's not only a discussion that's difficult to have. Thinking about suicide is a difficult thought. It is difficult for you to imagine it in your child or a friend or a family member. We have images of what people who die by suicide, and I learned that from Dr. Krasnow, that's the terminology, who die by suicide are. And many times it doesn't come close to fitting that mold.
But here's the thing. We've all struggled at some point in time that this is something that we treat as uncommon, but it is very common. And what I also learned in our earlier discussion from Dr. Krasnow was nobody likes to be the first, right? You don't have many other media outlets devoting an hour to teen suicide because it is uncomfortable, but we're one of the first, and you can guarantee we're going to be doing more of it because it is such an important issue. And it's an issue that I'm glad that we have Katie McPherson in studio helping us navigate. Katie is a school digital wellness consultant. She works with districts all over the valley, helping to coach the administration and the teachers and the students and the parents as to how to navigate the life right now with technology and mental health. And Katie, this is in your wheelhouse, and I feel like I could talk to you and Dr. Krasnow for a very long time, but I want to give our audience, parents, community members, some nuggets. So as somebody who does this for a living, that talks to countless number of teens and sees the disconnect that parents have with their children, if there was one thing, what's the most important thing parents need to take away from this conversation about mental health, suicide, and their kids? What would it be?
Well, I worked with 40 teens yesterday at the Mesa Police and Fire Academy, and they said active listening. When I come to them with an issue and they say to me, well, back in my day, or, you know, you just need to let it go. Get yourself together and let it go. I will never go back to my
parents. Rub some dirt on it and walk it off.
Yeah. They are struggling with how to solve a problem, and they are coming to us in droves, as Dr. Krasnow pointed out, and we are ill-equipped to help. And so the one thing that I do believe we all know how to do is stop and listen and really get in the ditch and just listen. They don't want you to fix it. Your response is not going to fix it. What's going to fix it is the connection that you have with your child. Rarely does a response make anything better. What makes something better is you're actually taking the time, you're putting your own phone down, and you're sitting in the ditch with your kid.
You say your child, and I'm curious if you also see, and I don't know numbers or percentages, of people who maybe still don't feel comfortable to talk to mom or dad about this, but there is a family friend, an uncle, an aunt, a neighbor, a sports coach, whatever it might be. Even if you don't have kids that are at risk, but you're around any of them, they may come to you.
Yeah. In my student assemblies, I ask kids to identify three trusted adults. They don't have to be on campus. Many kids report, I'm not willing to go to the school counselor or the school principal because I'm afraid of a retaliation from the student I'm reporting on, and I'm not comfortable selling out the friendship. So I ask them to identify three trusted adults in their life. And largely, I'd rather go to my cool aunt than my mom.